This is the Edinburgh Reporter podcast, and today we're with Transport and Environment convener Leslie McInnes. Leslie, you've just published two reports on some very exciting news, but also quite fundamental stuff for people living in the city. One is that you're going to make radical changes. Apparently that's what people want in the city centre. And the other, of course, is the trams to Newhaven. Maybe we'll do trams to Newhaven first. What's the basis on which you really want to extend the tram? Why should you extend the tram? What benefit will it have to people in Edinburgh?
It will better equip the city to deal with the next few decades. The reason for that is that we have enormous population growth forecasts for Edinburgh. We're looking at a 20% increase in population across the next 20 years.
What does that mean in figures? That's about...
Approximately 100,000 people in the next 20 years will be joining Edinburgh in one form or another. So how do we accommodate those people and our existing residents and visitors? How do we accommodate their need to move around the city safely and sustainably?
So people will just say to you, well, we've got Lothian buses, why don't we just continue to expand Lothian buses?
I think everybody recognises the success of Lothian Bus. They're an absolutely iconic part of Edinburgh, a fundamental part of Edinburgh, and nothing for them is going to change. But what we have to do is to look at expanding the options for people to move around the city and expand them in a smart and sustainable way, and the tram forms a major part of that.
And the tram, the cost of delivering the tram to Newhaven has gone up. It's now the total price, and this includes what you call an optimism
bias.
Yes. The total cost has gone up to £207 million. The optimism bias in my head is something like a cushion, which just cushions you against certain eventualities. Is that roughly correct?
Yes.
So 207 million seems, you know, that's about a third really of what it costs to deliver the line to York Place, I suppose. Can the council afford that?
Yes, it's absolutely affordable. This has been a business case, including all the costings and the work with contractors and the selection of contractors, that's been done on a very, very careful inch-by-inch basis, learning from what we understood happened before, learning from what we call the post-mediation stage, in other words, what delivered the tram that's in existence at the moment, very successfully in existence at the moment, moving around 7 million people a year on that tram as it stands. So we've taken a lot of those lessons and built them into this final business case. Now, the final business case has been constructed along very clear lines. And those are lines that come out from both the Scottish Government and the UK Government in terms of infrastructure projects. So it's built around the strategic case, around the commercial case, around the economic case. There's a number of features of that that we have followed absolutely to the letter, and that has been what's produced that figure. Now, one of the other aspects, for example, that has seen the figure rise to 207 is that we've put in a massive contingency section into that. And that's reflecting what the market is like for these major infrastructure projects post the Carillion collapse. We've seen major changes in that, and so our change to the final business case reflects that and builds in security for the city.
So I've got two final questions for you really on trams. One is the practicalities of how the tram line will be built, just fairly succinctly. And the second one, it is the actual mechanics of the council deciding that. So first things first, you know, people in Leith Walk have already seen all the roads being dug up. They're going to be dug up again. It's going to be dug up the full length. How is it going to work? How is it going to be better this time?
Well, we're looking at a very tight process where we're going to try and minimise disruption as much as possible. I could bore you with a lot of details about no double dig and all those other technical phrases, but I think the people of Leith Walk should be reassured that we're going to do this as quickly and as cleanly as we possibly can to minimise disruption.
So actually what you're going to do is perhaps close the street, well, you're closing the street for 18 months, but it will be one closure, as it were.
Yes, we're not actually closing the street. There will be one single lane going through it, and other traffic will be diverted elsewhere. But we're going to try and keep Leith Walk as vibrant as possible, especially for those people who walk or cycle and so on, to reach Leith Street and the businesses.
Okay, and then the mechanics of actually, yes, of you getting your way, Leslie, how are you going to get them to decide?
This is not just me demanding that we do the tram project. There's a lot of support for it across in many of the parties and many of the residents. The process now is that it comes forward to our Transport and Environment Committee on the 28th of February. There we will have an opportunity to really interrogate the final business case and to really have a full-blown discussion around it. On the basis of that, we will then recommend that it goes to full council in the middle of March, and that is where all 63 elected councillors will have an opportunity to have their say and to make that decision.
Great. And of course, all of the councillors have had the opportunity of looking at the business case in what's called a data room, which is they lock themselves in with people to question officers, I suppose.
Yes, it sounds almost spy-like, but it's nothing of the sort. It's simply a chance for people for the elected members to go in and interrogate and to ask questions of the tram team on every aspect of this final business case.
And the second, perhaps slightly more exciting paper that you've published today is all about the city centre transformation project, which Daisy Narayanan from SusTrans has really been in charge of. We saw you last year closing the mound and putting deck chairs out and things. So is that what it's all about?
No, it's about a lot more than that. That was simply, I suppose, a symbolic example of what we might do in terms of changing how people interact with the city centre. We, I think, recognise, most city dwellers, wherever they are, recognise the fact that to live in a city brings stresses and strains. Congestion, poor air quality, traffic noise, you know, etc. And what we want to do is to look at means, at ways and means of improving the quality of life for residents in the city centre, for people who visit the city centre, for those who work in it, those who come in for leisure, and really to see what lessons we can find that we can apply across Edinburgh and that look at things like a low emission zone, different approach to what we call placemaking. So how do we change the environment in the city centre?
Your critics might suggest that all you want to do is get rid of the car from the city centre, and of course you do have a proposal for the first Sunday of each month to make it, we won't say car free, it's open streets. I've been told that's the more positive way to put it. So are you against the car?
No, not at all. And in fact, I'm a car driver myself. I get really bored with the vanity project, war on the motorist spiel that is coming out from an awful lot of people at the moment. I'm a car driver myself, but I wouldn't dream of bringing it into the city centre. And I suppose that's for the same reasons as an awful lot of other people recognise, which is that you would just be contributing to a problem. What we're trying to do with this project is to look at ways of solving those problems. We are trying very hard to find a way that delivers the city centre back to the people rather than vehicle traffic. Now, the open streets is just a tiny example of that. It's just one symbol of what we're trying to do across this entire project. But it is not about closing off opportunity. It's actually about opening up the streets to allow people to interact with the streets differently, to walk, to cycle in freedom and safety, to look at buildings in a different way, not through the fog of fumes. And you know, there are a number of aspects to the project which I think will deliver a much better quality experience for residents and visitors alike.
And this, of course, is really just a kind of an interim report, I suppose, on what's happening with the city centre project. And that comes back to committee in May. And maybe we'll have to come back and talk to you more about it then, shall we?
You're very welcome to do so. I'm always excited to talk about these two particular projects in case. This is about delivering a better city for the people who live and work in it.
Thank you very much, Leslie, for your time.
Thank you. And
you can read the full-length version of this story and, of course, all our other stories online at www.theedinburghreporter.co.uk.